Usually when we think about tracking something just unfathomably complex, like a black hole, right? We expect the tools to be entirely disconnected from our everyday reality. Like you picture massive radio telescope arrays or supercomputers cooling in some subterranean vault.
Oh, absolutely. Not something you'd, run on a standard laptop.
Exactly. And this is where it gets crazy. What if the exact same mathematical tools used to detect the invisible heartbeats of mathematical black holes could just be turned around and pointed at the software running our world?
It's a massive paradigm shift. I mean, applying astrophysics to code.
It really is. What if you could essentially perform an MRI on an existing fully trained artificial intelligence just to like map out its hidden flaws, its catastrophic blind
Which
spots?
is exactly what we're looking at today.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We have a genuinely fascinating mission for this one. We are looking at a highly advanced set of technical notes centered on something called the CCTODE framework.
Yeah, specifically the application of a mathematical tool known as the XFFT anti-resonance detector.
Right. And for you listening right now, here is exactly why you should care. If you have ever used an AI model and wondered why a seemingly, brilliant system suddenly fails at a highly specific task,
Or seems to have bizarre blind spots that make no logical sense whatsoever.
yes. If you've experienced that, this deep dive is going to reveal exactly how to find those weaknesses. We are going to learn how to mathematically prove exactly where an AI just goes blind.
And I know it sounds like science fiction at first glance, but the underlying mechanics of both systems, a collapsing star and a complex neural network, they are surprisingly parallel.
Really? How so?
Well, ultimately, we're talking about finding the exact moments where a highly complex dynamic system simply collapses or forgets what it's doing.
Okay, let's unpack this because before we can start breaking open an AI model to look at its flaws, we really need to understand the mathematical hammer we're swinging.
Make sure we know the basics.
Exactly. Can you explain this XFFT tool in Plouvé English?
I can certainly try. So XFFT stands for cross-correlation fast Fourier transform.
That is a mouthful.
It is. If you've ever played around with an audio equalizer on your stereo, you might be loosely familiar with a standard FFT.
Okay.
A standard FFT takes a single complex signal, like a song, and it basically breaks it down to show you its ingredients. It tells you how loud the bass frequency is compared to the treble frequency at any given moment.
So it's just a breakdown of what's happening inside one single stream of data, like taking a baked cake and mathematically separating the flour from the sugar.
That's a great way to look at it. But the X in XFFT changes the game completely. It stands for cross-spectral.
Cross-spectral.
Right, so this tool looks at the relationship between two different signals. It compares a reference signal, say the baseline beat of a drum, to a main signal, like a guitar riff, to see how they interact and sync up.
Got it.
And what this specific detector from our sources is looking for is a phenomenon called an anti-resonance.
Anti-resonance, which intuitively sounds like the exact opposite of resonance.
That's a very good instinct.
So let's test a metaphor here. If resonance is like pushing a child on a swing at the exact right moment so they go higher and higher, you're like adding energy to the system in perfect harmony,
Yeah,
right?
you're amplifying the motion.
Is an anti-resonance like pushing that same swing right as it's coming back towards you? Like the physical forces perfectly cancel each other out, the kinetic energy is destroyed, and the swing just dead stops.
You've hit on the exact mechanical truth there. In the context of the physics and math models outlined in our sources, an anti-resonance isn't just a slowing down.
Okay.
It is the exact frequency where energy transfer momentarily completely collapses. It's a local dip in amplitude, or a sharp mathematical phase change, where the coherence between two signals drops to near zero.
They just stop talking to each other.
Exactly. They completely stop communicating.
The sources mention this happening in mathematical black holes. It says an anti-resonance is where a black hole's energy mode collapses and the loss approaches zero.
Yes, the text describes it metaphorically as the heartbeat of the black hole.
Wow.
It's the precise rate at which the black hole's energy mode collapses and then reforms. The sources even apply this to something they call a free will spectrum.
Wait, a free will spectrum? That sounds like philosophy, not math.
It kind of blends the two, actually. In their framework, an anti-resonance represents a moment an agent temporarily becomes fully determined, a so-called free will collapse.
Okay, so a collapse of choices.
Essentially, yes. It marks a decision singularity. The system stops fluctuating between possibilities, stops transferring energy, and just locks into a path.
So it's a diagnostic tool built to find the exact frequency where a dynamic moving system stops absorbing input, loses its flexibility, and just flatlines.
Exactly. It finds the structural dead zones.
Which brings us to the AI connection. Because if antiresonances mark points where a dynamic system collapses, what happens if we treat an artificial intelligence as that dynamic system?
Right. That's the big leap.
Yeah. How does a tool built for astrophysics map over to machine learning? Like, what kind of flaws actually pop up on the radar when we do this?
It maps over beautifully, actually, because the training of a neural network is fundamentally a time-varying signal.
A signal over time.
All right. When an AI is learning, its loss function, which is basically a mathematical score of how wrong the AI is, that fluctuates over time as it processes different batches of data.
So it's bouncing up and down as it learns.
Exactly. And the XFFT detector can be repurposed to diagnose what the source is called training interference. One of the most glaring flaws it spots is catastrophic forgetting.
Catastrophic forgetting. That's when an AI learns a new task but completely overwrites its memory of an old task, right?
You got it.
But why does that show up as an antiresonance? What is the actual mechanism causing a dip on the graph?
It comes down to conflicting instructions.
Yeah.
When the AI is learning the new task, the mathematical signals telling it how to adjust its internal dials, these are called gradients, they're pulling in one direction.
Okay.
But the residual memory of the old task is pulling in the opposite direction.
Like the swing.
It's exactly like the swing. Because the model is actively fighting the old information to make room for the new, the learning signal literally cancels itself out at that specific frequency.
It creates a mathematical dead zone.
Yes. If you run XFFT, that cancellation appears as a massive dip. It proves the system is mathematically blocking its own learning.
That makes total sense. The forces are pushing against each other. What about JANs? Generative adversarial networks, the sources mention mode collapse showing up here too.
Ah, yeah. Mode collapse in a JAN is a notorious problem, where the AI generator figures out one single cheap trick to fool the AI discriminator.
And it just keeps generating the exact same image over and over.
Right. It stops innovating. So in this case, your two signals are the discriminator's learning curve and the generator's learning curve.
Okay. We have our two signals for the cross-spectral tool.
Exactly. When you run XFFT on them, mode collapse appears as a point where the coherence between those two signals drops to absolute zero.
The energy transfer collapses.
The evolutionary energy transfer between the two adversarial networks has completely collapsed. They're no longer pushing each other to improve.
Wow. And the text also mentions dead neurons, or vanishing gradients, showing up as a persistent anti-resonance at very low frequencies.
That's right.
Which, if I'm thinking about the mechanism, makes sense. Because if a neuron is dead, it outputs a constant zero. It never changes. And mathematically, a constant flatline has a frequency of zero.
Exactly.
So it's a permanent anti-resonance at the lowest possible frequency. It's just a brick wall.
That tracks perfectly. You are pinpointing the exact regions of the internal architecture where the model's ability to process information just gets trapped.
Okay, this is amazing for developers who are actively building an AI and can watch these signals fluctuate as it trains. But this is the part of the deep dive that I really want to focus on today.
The diagnostic side.
Yes, because most of the time, you and I and the listener aren't building a multi-billion parameter model from scratch.
Right, that takes millions of dollars.
We are handed a finished, pre-trained AI. We don't have its training logs. We just have the black box. Can we use this to find the flaws in an AI that is already deployed?
This is arguably the most powerful application detailed in the source material. You can absolutely diagnose hidden weaknesses in existing pre-trained models without ever seeing their original training data.
I mean, how?
The core solution is that you treat the pre-trained model as a dynamical system during its inference phase.
Inference phase meaning when we use it.
Right, meaning while it's actively answering your prompts or processing data.
Wait, I'm struggling with this. A pre-trained model is finished. It's static. It just takes my prompt and spits out an answer. There's no time passing like there is during a training phase with epochs and learning rates. How on earth can we use a frequency tool which entirely relies on time-varying signals on something that isn't a time series?
That is the exact logical hurdle you'd expect to hit. But the workaround detailed in the sources is quite brilliant. You create the time axis yourself. Yeah. You don't rely on the AI's internal clock. You rely on an ordered stream of inputs that you control.
But how does a sequence of static prompts become a frequency?
Think of a flip book.
Okay, a flip book.
A single drawing on a piece of paper is completely static. It has no time, no frequency. But if you flip a sequence of those drawings at a specific speed, you create time.
You create a frequency.
Right. By feeding the AI an ordered sequence of data, that sequence becomes your time axis.
Oh, wow. So the rate at which I feed it, the systematically changing data, becomes the heartbeat?
Precisely. You probe its static mapping with time-varying inputs. And once you do that, the sources outline five specific types of internal data signals that you can pull from a pre-trained model to run this XFFT analysis.
Okay, let's group these logically, because this is the real goldmine for the listener wanting to diagnose these black boxes. If I'm feeding the AI a flip book of prompts, what's the first thing I should measure?
The most direct metric is the output loss on a validation set.
So just how often it's getting things wrong?
Basically, yeah. You run the model on a stream of validation examples and compute its error rate per sample. This gives you the model's global performance.
And if we see a dip there?
If you see an anti-resonance here, it reveals structural fragility on specific repeating patterns in your flipbook.
Okay, so that's looking at the final output. What if we want to look deeper inside? Could we track the internal sparks, so to speak, like the per layer activation?
Yes, that's the second signal type. You feed in your sequence of inputs. Okay. It could even just be a rhythmic pattern of static noise. And you record the variance of the mathematical activations inside specific layers of the neural network.
Wow, okay.
This is how you find those dead neurons in an already deployed model. If a layer's activation variance drops to zero at a certain input frequency, you know that layer is mathematically blind to that type of data.
Interesting. But what if the neurons are firing, but the model is just stuck? Like it sees the data, but mathematically can't adjust its answer.
For that, you look at the third signal type gradient approximations. Even if the model is done training, you can calculate its gradient norm.
And without getting too into the weeds, what's a gradient norm?
It's basically the size of the mathematical step the AI would take if it were still learning.
Oh, okay. Like how much it wants to change.
Exactly. If you track this size over your sequence of inputs and see an anti-resonance, it reveals saturation. It means the model's internal gears are jammed and it cannot process that specific variation of data.
What if the model isn't jammed, but is just guessing blindly? Like a student who doesn't know the answer on a multiple choice test, so they just pick C with absolute unearned confidence.
That leads to the fourth signal prediction entropy, or confidence. This is crucial for classification models.
How do you measure that?
You measure the entropy of the model's softmax output. The softmax is basically the AI's internal probability pie chart. It shows how confident the AI is across all possible answers.
Right, like 90% sure it's a cat, 10% dog.
Exactly. If you measure the entropy of that pie chart over your sequential inputs and see a sharp drop, it reveals overconfidence. The text calls this uncertainty blindness.
Uncertainty blindness?
Yes. The AI is mathematically incapable of knowing that it doesn't know the answer.
That is terrifying for an AI deployed in a high-stakes environment. Are there ways to tell if the AI is just confusing distinct concepts, like blurring two ideas together?
Yes, the final signal type tackles that. It involves measuring the internal representation similarity. Specifically, you measure the cosine similarity between successive hidden states as the AI processes a sequence.
Cosine similarity.
Yeah, which is basically just a mathematical way of asking, are these two complex pieces of data pointing in the exact same direction?
Okay.
If you see an anti-resonance here, it indicates representational collapse. The model is failing to distinguish between different concepts, and it's just blurring them into one generic mush.
So what does this all mean for the listener who actually wants to put this into practice? Let's give them the practical playbook. How do we execute this step-by-step weakness test on a pre-trained model?
Well, the sources outline a very clear three-step practical protocol for deployed models.
All right, step one.
Step one, design a probe data set. You need to create a stream of examples, your flipbook, that systematically varies exactly one dimension.
Okay, so like changing just one thing at a time.
Right. That could be the difficulty of the math problem, the signal-to-noise ratio in an image, or the frequency of a specific feature.
Got it. And step two?
Step two. Record two signals over this artificial time axis you've created.
Because we need two for the cross-spectral tool.
Exactly. You need your reference signal, which is the baseline input property of the actual rhythmic pulse you're feeding it, and you need your main signal, which is the model's response, like its error rate or its activation variance.
Okay, and step three is applying the tool.
Yes. Step three, apply the XFFT anti-resonance detection to that pair of signals. You're looking for those deep mathematical valleys, those anti-resonances.
Because that will show us the blind spots.
It will indicate the exact frequencies, the exact rates of change in your input where the model fails to respond properly.
The sources give a fantastic, concrete example of this using a BERT language model. Let's slow down and really visualize this one. Let's say you want to know if an AI language model has a hidden blind spot for long-range dependencies.
Right.
Imagine feeding the AI a massive detective story where a crucial clue is mentioned on page 1 and the payoff question is on page 5. We want to know if the AI physically drops the memory after a specific number of words.
So following the protocol, your first step is to generate your probe dataset. You generate thousands of random sentences with a periodic dependency. Let's say a specific keyword or relationship repeats exactly every T tokens.
Let's call T50. So every 50 words exactly, a crucial piece of context repeats. This is our heartbeat.
Right. Your reference signal, your baseline, is that repetition period, that 50-token cycle. Your main signal, the thing you're testing, is the model's error rate on predicting the next token.
Okay.
You stream this massive data set through the BERT model and run the XFFT to compare the 50-word pulse to the AI's error rate.
So picture a line graph on your screen. It's humming along, tracking the AI's performance. And if that line suddenly plunges into a massive valley, an anti-resonance at exactly the frequency marker for 1 over 50.
Which would be exactly your 50-word cycle.
You have just generated mathematical proof that the model is structurally blind to dependencies that occur 50 words apart. It completely loses the thread.
And let's take that a step further. You have just successfully diagnosed a critical flaw in a deployed, highly complex AI system entirely as a black box.
That's wild.
You didn't need the multi-terabyte training data. You didn't need the original source code. You just needed to feed it a rhythmic pulse of data and mathematically listen for where its internal energy transfer flatlined.
It's an incredibly elegant solution, but it does raise a practical question. The protocol we just walked through requires a clean reference signal.
True.
You have to know exactly what rhythm you are feeding it. What if we are in a situation where we can't cleanly define a reference signal? What if the real-world data we are feeding it is just messy organic data and we still want to know if the model is failing? Can we do this one-handed?
Yes, the sources explicitly address this limitation. It's called single-signal mode.
Single-signal mode, okay.
If you don't have an external reference pulse to compare against, you can just analyze the normalized power spectrum of the model's internal states directly.
So you just look at the main signal all by itself.
Exactly. For example, you just record the size of the model's internal adjustments, the gradient norm we talked about, over a sequence of organic inputs.
And what are we looking for there?
If the power spectrum of that single mathematical signal shows a sharp dip at a certain frequency, it means the model's inference dynamics are inherently blind to that rate of input variation.
So even without the reference, a dip is bad.
Right. It's a sign of structural trouble. It might mean a recurrent neural network structurally cannot represent a specific oscillation in the real-world data.
It's like listening to a car engine. In cross-spectral mode, the main protocol, with two signals, you're comparing the pressing of the gas pedal to the engine revving. You are looking for the disconnect between the input and the output.
That's a good way to put it.
But in single signal mode, you don't even look at the gas pedal. You're just standing there, listening to the engine run by itself and noticing that it audibly stutters every fifth second. You don't know what you're pressing, but you know there's a structural problem just from the rhythm of the machine itself.
That's a perfect analogy. Now, the text does point out a few limitations you have to watch out for when diagnosing models in the real world, and importantly, how to mitigate them.
Right, because no complex system is perfectly clean. What if the model's outputs are stochastic? Like, what if it uses sampling? So it gives you a slightly different randomized answer every time you run the exact same input. That randomness would ruin the precise frequency mapping, right?
It introduces a lot of statistical noise, yes.
Yeah.
But the mitigation is straightforward. You average the results over multiple runs.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or, more elegantly, you rely heavily on the coherence metric built into the XFFT algorithm. Coherence acts as a mathematical noise filter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it'll tell you if a dip on your graph is a true structural anti-resonance or just random statistical jitter from the AI, hallucinating slightly different answers.
The sources also mention a limitation regarding small models. If an AI model is very small, it has a naturally short memory.
Right, and if it has a short memory, a long-term continuous frequency analysis won't work well because the model forgets the start of your sequence before you finish feeding it.
Oh, of course. How do we fix that?
The mitigation there is to use short segment lengths in what the math calls Welch's method.
Welch's method.
Basically, you essentially chop your long analysis into smaller, bite-sized rhythmic chunks and average them out. It still allows you to detect local anti-resonances perfectly well without overflowing the model's memory.
This has been an unbelievable journey today. We started this deep dive looking at the theoretical physics of mathematical black holes, tracking the exact frequencies where their energy modes collapse, where their heartbeats flatline.
We really went from one extreme to the other.
We took that exact same mathematical concept, the XFFT anti-resonance detector, and dragged it into the world of artificial intelligence.
We moved from theoretical singularities to highly practical step-by-step diagnostics for software.
Exactly. For you listening, we've gone from abstract math to a literal playbook for uncovering the hidden failures, the periodic blind spots, and the dead frequency bands in modern pre-trained AI models. We learned how to create a time axis out of static sequential inputs using the flipbook method.
Which is such a powerful conceptual tool.
It really is. We learned how to map out a model's gradient norms and activation variances, and how to mathematically prove when a model like BERT is totally blind to specific repeating patterns in the data. You now have the conceptual tools to look at AI not as some infallible magical oracle, but as a dynamic system with a measurable, testable pulse.
I think this raises one final crucial question, though. Something that sits just beneath the surface of all this source material.
What's that?
Well, if we can use XFFT to perfectly map the exact frequencies where a pre-trained AI goes completely blind.
Yeah.
If we can mathematically prove exactly what rhythms and patterns the AI structurally fails to absorb, could malicious actors use this exact same frequency map to design invisible adversarial data streams?
Oh, wow.
Right. Could they craft cyber attacks or data poisoning streams that vibrate at the exact anti-resonance frequency of a security AI? They would be creating an attack that the system is mathematically guaranteed to ignore because it hits the model's literal dead zone.
If you know exactly where the mathematical blind spots are, you know exactly where to hide in plain sight. That is a chilling and fascinating implication to leave you with today. The exact same diagnostic tool that acts as an MRI to heal the system could be used to find the perfect disguise to bypass it entirely. The black hole's heartbeat isn't just a curiosity, it's the key to mapping the entire sister's reality. Thank you for taking this deep dive with us. We'll catch you on the next one.